So welcome back for another teen tidbit. This is Evan Center of Center Counseling. I had a teen the other day talk about their friends, and they often talk about their friends with me because peers are really important to teenagers. So I thought it would be a good topic for today. And just, you know, wondering if out there in parent land, parents ever have this thought come across their minds, but why are peers so important to their teenagers? Or why do they always pick their friends over family? So if you've ever wondered about why your 15, 16, or 17-year-old is so into their friends, why they will almost always choose hanging out with their peers over a family event or outing, why they groan about family vacation because they don't want to be away from their friends, well, then this one is for you. There are a few things at play here, and bear with me for a minute because I am going to talk about their brain. Teens respond really strongly to social rewards. In fact, they respond way more strongly than the rest of us do. And this is because adolescence brings with it a peak in the brain's sensitivity to dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that appears to prime and fire reward circuits. In addition to that, their brains are also more attuned to oxytocin, which is another neural hormone, which among other things makes social connections really rewarding. So teens prefer the company of their own more now than ever before. And their brain experiences pleasure and pain from those interactions with their peers in a way that's way more intense than as adults we remember or understand. So it makes sense that teenagers seek out those peer experiences over other experiences. Here's another thing. Teenagers offer more novelty. They're wacky, they're wild, they're experimenting, they're trying new things, they're risk-taking. And that is something else that teenagers are more attuned to. They are seeking out novelty. They're experiencing the world in different ways than they did when they were a kid. Peer relationships are also an investment in your child's future. Being able to build, nurture, and sustain relationships with peers bears heavily on one's ability to achieve success socially, professionally, or in starting a family. That's true no matter what age you are. But it's in adolescence that orientation starts to come around. When kids are younger, their orientation is absolutely towards their parents over their peers, and because that's what their survival is based on. Survival and procreation for adolescents, and I know we don't want to think about that with teenagers, but from an evolutionary standpoint, they're moving in a direction where they don't need their parents as much, but they do need to build a strong future. And so really, peer relationships are not a distraction from what's really important. Evolutionarily, they are the thing that's really important. I think if as adults in the lives of teenagers we can keep that in mind, it can help contextualize their behaviors and their choices so that we don't take it as personally. Something to keep in mind is that if peer relationships feel that important to the teen brain and feel that, you know, if they're engaging that dopamine and the oxytocin and they're feeling that kind of pleasure and reward from peer relationships, keep in mind that rejections by peers feel equally devastating. And in that way, in that evolutionary context, those rejections are a threat to survival. It's not really that in reality. We know that. And from an adult perspective, it seems crazy when our teen is freaking out about some social situation. But from a neurological level and an evolutionary level, that's what's going on. It feels huge. It feels catastrophic. I have another entirely different angle that I also want to talk to you about, that whole teen brain social orientation thing. So put these ideas together. Teens feel things really intensely, so that dopamine oxytocin deal. Teens are working out their identity during high school. Experiences we have during adolescence are often some of the strongest memories we have. Teens are oriented toward peers, but also trying to figure out how to have positive social engagements. Teens tend to be disproportionately aware of how other people see them, which often means that they see themselves or feel like they're being seen or noticed more intensely than they actually are, or with more scrutiny. And then you put all those things together and you put them in a school for 40 hours a week without that many adults, and they create their own teen-centric culture, which is sometimes not so nice. And this certainly happens in middle school too, but fortunately the middle schoolers often have more adult interaction. So this is where parents come in. As one of the things I see with parents is that they're not quite sure what their role is once their kids are a teenager. And you still have a role. You still have a really important role, actually. And that role is not to tell your kids what to do or to try to control their choices or their behavior, but as a parent or an adult in the lives of teens, we must find ways to gently guide them and draw them out of their teen brain and into a broader perspective of the world and social engagement. We have to nurture those brain connections that are happening during adolescence that are going to help them in the long term. There is so much going on in their brain developmentally in that 12 to 24 range. It's so important that as adults we engage the brain and we help nurture those connections. And we don't do this by telling them, we do it by teaching them. And I mean that in a Socratic sense. This means finding ways to engage their mind, to ask them questions, to wonder out loud. And it means keeping your fingers on the pulse of what's going on for your teen socially. Yeah, they're growing up and they do want some privacy, but knowing their friends' names and being in communication with their friends' parents is really important. And being able to ask questions to get your teen to draw conclusions about what behaviors are cool or not cool, and being able to help your teen develop their own sense of how to handle these challenging situations. That's the influence you can have as a parent. This communication is so tricky, though. Teens do not like to be told what to do by their parents. Yes, sometimes there are non-negotiables, but a lot of the times, parents don't actually need to tell their teens what to do. You have known this kid for a long time, and you've had a huge impact on their values and what they believe to be good and bad in the world. So you can draw that out of them, that piece that you've already instilled. You can draw it out of them by being curious, and that will be more powerful than retelling them what they already know. Rather than set up situations where they feel criticized because you're telling them or lecturing, I hear kids say all the time, by the way, I never do anything even a little bit right. Dad always tells me or mom always tells me that I did it wrong and they tell me how to do it right. Or avoid setting up situations where your teen chooses to challenge or rebel against their parents in order to exert their individuality. So keep in mind that the job of the teenager is to individuate. Don't take it personally. That's their developmental job. They need to be separate from you. So don't set up situations where you're telling them the answers and it just allows them an opportunity to individuate. We don't want them to individuate from that good information that you're sharing with them. So here are a few questions to get you started, but don't feel like you have to start with a script. This is about you finding ways to be genuinely curious about what's going on for your teen and what they're thinking about. Again, just finding that curiosity and that wonder. You don't have to be conniving about it. You don't have to have a really clear plan or know what the answer is that you want to draw out of them. You just have to wonder out loud what it is that's going on in their brain. So here are four that can get you started, and then I'll open up the line to questions. If you're listening to this on my podcast, feel free to send me questions, and I would love to get back to you on that. So lastly, here are those four questions to get you started, and they're really just an outline, an idea. So one, what did you think about that thing that happened last week with so-and-so? So again, here we're getting them to engage their brain. What did they think about it? And then they're also practicing articulating their beliefs. Here's another. How are you and your friends dealing with whatever? Whatever the thing is that's going on. What are your thoughts on this? Maybe pick a social phenomenon that you read about or heard about. So what are your thoughts on sexting? I saw something in the newspaper about that, and I wonder what your thoughts are on it. So totally non-judgmental, just wondering. And here's another one. And this is sort of a combo empathic statement question. I can't imagine what that was like. Can you tell me more? It sounds really hard. So again, those are just general ideas. You know, the overall sense of those questions is that they are pretty neutral. There's no judgment in them. There's no value statement in them. They're really curious questions. They're wondering questions. They are questions that are allowing your child to have whatever response that they have. And then if they have a response that you think is totally whack, ask them another question. Ask them another non-judgmental question. Well, what about this piece? Huh. I wonder how Sarah feels about that. I wonder, just wonder. So that's my takeaway for today. I guess there are two takeaways today for today. Don't take it personally when your teenager wants to hang out with their friends instead of you, because it's natural. It's wired into their brain. And then two, you do still have a really important role to play, even though their teens are so important to them right now. And you can have that adult influence, that adult perspective, so that their peer experiences are not solely created by peers. Because we all know teenagers are a little bit different than grown-ups, and we don't want them to be teenagers for the rest of their life. We want them to be grown-ups someday. So that's what the goal is, help them moving through that. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll open up the line for questions now.